We're thankful for the goodness of the Lord. You have your Bible open to Luke chapter number 3. I want to share some truth with you about the prayer life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I do so with hopes that it would challenge your prayer life as it has mine early in the study, and I'm still looking into the scripture and learning some things, and God is speaking to my heart about prayer. You know, I didn't realize that the scripture had as much to say about the prayer life of Jesus as it does until I really began to run references and search. And it became evident very early in my study that Jesus was a man of prayer. I knew that, but I didn't realize how much the scripture elaborated on it. Now, I said Jesus was a man of prayer, but I want to correct that and say Jesus is a man of prayer. Because even now, as we're sitting here, the Bible teaches in the book of Hebrews chapter number 7 that he ever liveth to make intercession for us. Here's our great high priest that is seated at the right hand of God the Father, and he is praying for you. What solace there is in that thought, in that truth, in that promise. God is praying for me. Now, I'm thankful for the prayers of God's people. I believe that you pray for me, and I hope you know I pray for you, and I believe that we as a church pray one for another.
Amen.
But you know, I don't know that there's any more comforting thought in the way of prayer than to know that the high priest of heaven, the Lord Jesus himself, is praying for me. And I hope that you realize he's praying for you too. See, I don't always know what you're going through, but he does. And even if I do know what you're going through, I don't always have the words to say or the way to approach what you are going through. But he does. As I was looking at this scripture, I noticed something that I'd never noticed before. I've read this scripture I don't know how many times. The baptism of Jesus. Now, my message this morning is not on the baptism of Jesus. But when I began to run some references on praying and Jesus' prayer life, I came to this verse of scripture. It led me here. And I want you to notice with me, as Pastor David read in your hearing, now when all the people were baptized, when you look at the context in which this scripture is given, you'll find that John the Baptist was preaching the repentance of sin and baptism. And as he was preaching, there were people that came out from many regions around Judea, Jerusalem, and the surrounding areas, and they would form lines to give remission of sin and to be baptized for repentance. And as they were being baptized, John, after a full day of baptism, looked up, and there stood Jesus to be baptized. Now you say, if people were coming for the remission of sin, then why was Jesus there? Why was Jesus baptized? And I feel like I need to give this. I felt led of the Lord. Even as I was looking over these notes this morning, I thought, you know, I think it's important that people realize that Jesus was not being baptized for what the others were being baptized. Jesus was not being baptized as a sinner. He was being baptized to identify with sinners. You see, when we're baptized, we identify with him. You understand that? When you got baptized, you identified with his death, burial, and resurrection. That's why the Bible says that being buried in the likeness of his death and raised to walk in the likeness of his resurrection. We're identifying with Christ in our baptism. In his baptism, he's identifying with us. We're identifying with his work. He's identifying with our need. And I hope you'll understand that. Now, that's not the only reason that Jesus was baptized. There's a second reason that Jesus was baptized. He was baptized to begin his public ministry. If you'll notice right after verse number 22, in the beginning of verse 23, it says, and, which goes back and equates this verse with the former verse, and Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age. Now, that's important. Because when you study the life of the priesthood and those of the Levites, you'll find that this is when they began their earthly ministry in the tabernacle, in the temple, at this age. As a matter of fact, when you study many people that are mentioned in the scripture, this age is very relevant to when they began their ministry. And so Jesus was not only in his baptism being identified with we as sinners, but he was beginning or kicking off, if you will, his public ministry at the age of 30. And we know that he ministered right around three and a half years because he was crucified at the age of 33. Now, there is a more important reason than those two in which I mentioned. In order to find that, you're going to have to take your Bible. And I'm going to ask you to turn to some scripture this morning so you can see the Bible truth of some things I want to give you this morning. Notice, if you would, in Matthew chapter number 3, we have this occasion of the baptism of Jesus. You say, well, I thought you were going to talk about prayer. Well, we'll get there. You're going to get your conviction here in just a moment. Talking about baptism may not convict you, but I will guarantee you when we look at the baptism or the prayer life of Jesus, it's going to cut to the heart. We have spent years calling America back to God. And in those years, what God has been doing is calling us back to prayer. We like to think that Washington is going to solve our nation's problems. Brethren, prayer is going to solve our problems. I'm not saying that you can begin to vote and quit praying, or you can begin to pray and quit voting. But I am saying that the answer to the problems of our country, the answer to the problems of your family, the answers to the problems of our churches today, the answer to the problem in my life, in your life, are going to come through the power of prayer. We need to pray. And if you're fighting prayer, then you need to understand the reason that you're fighting that is because the enemy doesn't want you to utilize your greatest asset. Our greatest resource is that there is an access that we have to heaven. Brethren, we have access to heaven. Now, I have a home there. And sometimes if we're not careful, we get so fixated on going there that we'll forget we can go there now. We have access into his presence right now. And God has bid us to come into his presence boldly into the throne of his grace, that we can make our request, let our need be made known. And yet, I can only speak for myself. I do not take advantage of that wonderful privilege as often and as much as I should. And God has spoken to my heart about it. And I believe what Jesus is trying to teach us here, and the reason that God wanted us in his word, how much Jesus prayed, is because he wants me to understand if Jesus is God, and he is. Say amen with me. If you believe Jesus is God, say amen. Amen. He is God. And yet, as a man, he is 100% God and 100% man. You say, well, preacher, break that down for us. That's all I can tell you. He's 100% God and 100% man. Amen. That's about as much as you can get out of me other than I don't understand it. I can't wrap my mind around it, but it is full in my heart. With every ounce of my being, with every fiber in me, I believe Jesus is 100% God and 100% man. And Jesus was a praying man. As I look at this, I believe with all of my heart that if there's one characteristic of the Lord Jesus Christ that stands head and shoulders above all the others, is that he is a praying man. He prayed. And if he prayed, how much more should I pray? If he prayed, how much more should you pray? When you go back to Matthew chapter 3 with me, you'll find where the scripture tells us this same account. And I think it's interesting what John the Baptist did, and I believe that it was proper that he did this and appropriate. I believe I would have done the same thing. Remember the day of your baptism? What a special day that is. I tell folks when they come to me and they say, I want to be baptized, I say, you know what, that's going to be a red letter day in your life. That'll be a day you'll never forget. Now, baptism doesn't get you to heaven. You get to heaven by trusting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. It's the only way to heaven. But I tell you right now, baptism is a great day in your life. When you got baptized, when you identified with Christ, when you showed the world, when you were willing to show everyone that would come and see or that would listen, I am dying to my old way and I am living the way of Christ. I believe Jesus was buried and I believe he rose again and I'm not ashamed of it. That's what baptism is. But it was different for Jesus. It was. You know, I've got to tell you, I wasn't praying when I was being baptized. As a matter of fact, when I read that account in Luke chapter 3, I'd read it for many, many times, and I never realized the Bible said that when Jesus was being baptized, he was praying. We'll go back to that in just a moment. When he came to John here in Matthew chapter 3, are you with me? Look down, if you would, in verse number 15. Look, if you would, in verse 13 first. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. Now, this is the equivalent scripture of Luke chapter 3. Same account. Just a different evangelist given their view and as the Spirit of God moved on them of what happened that day. And the Bible says in verse number 14 that John, and I'm paraphrasing here, he said, I'm not going to baptize you, Jesus. I can't do it. I can't reason in my mind why I should be baptizing you. You need to be baptizing me. Amen. He said, I can't figure out. He said, John forbade him. Now, you know that John, being that man of righteousness that he was, if he did not feel strongly in his heart what he was saying, he would not have forbade the very Lord himself. Who's going to tell Jesus no? When they're filled with righteousness, when they're full of God, and from the womb, brother, here's a man filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. Walk with God. And yet he felt such conviction in the presence of Jesus Christ that he said, I can't do this. I can't bring myself to do this. And then the Lord Jesus spoke to him in verse number 15. And he said, now, John, suffer it to be so now. Allow it, John. That's what that word suffer means. Allow it, John. John, I'm coming to you for a purpose. And he said, this is the purpose, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. When you look at that statement, the us is not John and Jesus. It's God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Ghost, because all three of them showed up right there that day. God the Son went down in the water. God the Holy Ghost came down from heaven. And God the Father spoke from heaven and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And there's a very significant truth around the baptism of Jesus that we need to latch on to this morning. Jesus was praying. Go back to Luke chapter number 3 and you'll find that some things happen right along with this that we read in Matthew 3. The Bible says in Luke 3, as Pastor David read in your hearing in verse number 21, now when all the people were baptized, Jesus was standing at the end of the line and he said, I'm at the end because I'm not coming for the reason they came, John. Me and you are on a mission. We have something that heaven has bid us to do. We read in Matthew where John said, not so, Lord. He said, I forbid that. I'm not going to do it. You need to baptize me. And Jesus said, no, John. He said, that's not the way this is going to work. Now, you need to suffer it to be so for righteousness' sake. And he said, we, meaning us, meaning God the Father, God the Son. Notice what happens when we pray. Jesus, it says here in verse number 21, and Jesus also being baptized, that next phrase, and praying. The heaven was opened. Can I tell you, when Jesus prayed, the heavens opened, brethren. I want it to be when I pray, heaven opens. I believe you want it to be that way. You want heaven to open, not close. I want to tell you, heaven is open. But our sin will close it up. Our lack of praying will close it up. Our sin and our lack of asking and our lack of humility and our lack of seeing the need that we need God in our life and that we cannot do anything without him will turn heaven to brass. And when we pray, our prayers will be bouncing off the walls and off the ceiling and around the room, and we'll get discouraged and we'll wonder, why is God not hearing my praying? Why are my prayers not being answered? How long will I go through this sorrow that I go through? When is God going to hear my prayer and answer me? Jesus prayed, and heaven opened. Don't you want it to be that way when you pray? I do. I do. I not only want it to be that way, I'm here to confess to you and before God this morning, I need it to be that way. Brethren, I'm asking God for some hard stuff. I'm asking the Lord to do some things that are outside the realm of the possibility of man. And I believe you are too. I've got a sister who has cancer who needs a touch from heaven. And I believe you have some folks in your prayer, in your life, that need that kind of prayer too. I've got some needs in my own personal life that only me and God know about. And I need heaven to be opened up so that I can hear from heaven. And if God opened up to heaven to hear his son, who is the head of the church, surely to heaven, God will open up heaven to hear you and I, who are his body. And I'm glad that Jesus set this example for me. I need his example. But I not only need his example, God give me the wherewithal to follow his example. God give you the wherewithal to follow the example of our loving Lord Jesus Christ. And as he was baptized, he was praying. How I would have loved to have been there that day and heard the Lord Jesus praying as he was baptized. The Bible says the heavens were open. Don't you want heaven to be open? Amen. Sure you do. But you know what else happened this day? Look at it if you would. It says in verse number 22, the Holy Ghost descended. Don't you want that, brethren? Don't we need it?
Amen.
Don't we need the Holy Ghost to descend? Don't we need the anointing of the Holy Ghost? Listen, don't we need this on our churches? Don't we need this on our ministry? Brethren, we live in a day where there's a lot of spirit activity, but I'm afraid to tell you that it's not Holy Ghost spirit activity. The demons of hell have been unleashed upon this earth. Look around you and all that's going on. It's real, brethren, it's real. It's not some figment of our imagination. It's not some concoction that we've cooked up to try to put fear in the hearts of men. Just look at what's going on around us in our country and around our world. All of hell has been unleashed upon this earth. And if we don't get some saints of God that can open up heaven with our prayer and bring down the power of the Holy Spirit of God, brethren, I fear for what lies ahead for us. But I'm here to encourage you today and tell you that God will hear your prayer. God will open up heaven. God will anoint your life. God will anoint your family. God will anoint your ministry. And then there's a third thing that happened here. Notice if you would in verse number 22, it says, and a voice came from heaven which said, thou art my beloved son. God spoke. If we've ever needed God to speak, brethren, we need to hear from heaven. We need to hear from God. Amen. And I'm not the only one in here that needs to hear from God. I told you Wednesday night, brethren, I'm seeking revival, and don't you think that I'm some novice preacher. I'm not all that, but I've been doing this a little while. I know what the price is. I know what it costs when you begin to talk about revival and praying and getting serious with God. All of hell will be unleashed. But I believe with all of my heart that I've talked to a group of saints of God that want something real from heaven.
Amen.
Are you willing to pay the price, brethren? Are we willing to pay the price? You say, I want a feel-good preacher. I'm not talking about a feel-good. I'm not talking about some phenomena or something warped up in the emotion of man. I'm talking about something prayed down, the power of God that'll change our lives, change our families, change our churches, change our community. We need it, brethren. We need it. But the question is, do we want it? There's a price to pay. There's a price to pay. The Bible says that Jesus was a praying man. God spoke to my heart and said, are you? And I hung my head and said, God, I'm not. This is not a feigned humility. It's real. God knows my heart. I felt like that man that said, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. God, I pray, but not near enough. You know how lax I become, God, in my prayer life. I need not hide it from man. My life is open before God, and I pray to God that we would learn what it is to let our lives be open before others. The Bible says we're to confess our fault before others. You show me a man that's quit praying, and I'll show you a man that has lost his fervor for God and his compassion for others and has lost his purpose for the things of God. Why are our churches emptying up, brethren? Why are our churches emptying up? Do we still have a lot of preaching today? Do we? Do we still have a lot of good singing in our churches today? Yes. What's wrong? What's going on then? We're just going through the motions. We need some power. We need some fire. I'm not talking to some of this, as I said, some of this hopped up, worked up emotion. I'm talking about real power with God. The way the old timers used to believe it, brethren. Listen, God hasn't changed. God hasn't changed. We have. You know what astronauts do when they leave Earth's atmosphere? They have to take Earth's atmosphere with them. It's called oxygen. Without it, you don't make it. You ever watched a fish out of water? I'm not a fisherman. How many fishermen are there in the crowd? Raise your hand real high. Well, not as many as I thought. You know what happens when you take a fish out of its element? You take a fish out of water, get a fish out of its element. You know what happens? That's right. Jesus was in his element when he was praying. There's no way, now that I've seen what I've seen, that I could read through the New Testament and not notice. Jesus was always praying. He was always praying. Always. That's why the Bible can say, praying always, with all prayer and supplication. That's why I can say, pray without ceasing, because God's not asking me to do anything that Jesus didn't do. You either. Praying. You take a fish out of water, it'll die. You take oxygen away from man, he'll die. And for all intents and purposes, I submit to you this morning, you take a Christian, you take prayer out of a Christian's life, and he or she's going to die. I've been pastoring for right at 38 years. We think the first thing that goes is church attendance. That's not the first thing that goes when a person begins to die spiritually. We think, well, they'll quit tithing eventually. Eventually. They'll quit witnessing, preacher. Soon enough. But you know the first thing that goes? We quit praying. The communion's not there. We quit praying. There's no way a man can pray and be in good terms with God and deliberately disobey. Not if he's saved in the grace of God. Amen?
Amen.
Think back in your own life. Think back in your own life. What's the first thing to go? Long before you get lax in your church attendance, long before you get lax in your Bible reading, long before you begin to rethink the tithe and the offerings, long before you quit thinking about having gospel tracts and telling other people about eternity, what's the first thing to go, brethren? Think back. I did over the past couple of weeks. It's prayer. It's prayer. Because prayer is the flame. It heats the heart. It is. It's what keeps me connected. It's what keeps you connected. You say, well, now, preacher, Jesus was a great preacher. He was. Jesus was a great healer. He was. Jesus, he cast out devils. He did. Jesus fed the multitudes. He did. The Lord Jesus, he was moved with compassion, and he looked out and he saw them as sheep scattered without a shepherd. That's right. But when you go back and you begin to look at the ministry of Jesus, can I tell you, he was praying before he preached. He prayed first. He did cast out devils, but he prayed first. Amen. He did feed the 5,000. What's the Bible say? He blessed the bread and the fishes first. He prayed first. Yeah. See, if we're not careful, we'll get prayer out of its proper place. It's first, brethren. It's first. Please hear me this morning. Please. Before Jesus went to Calvary, he went to Gethsemane. There's a purpose that God put that in there. Before he went to the cross, he went to a garden. Before he shed his last blood on the cross, he shed his agonizing blood in the garden. He prayed first. Even on the cross, before he went to the tomb, he prayed, "Father, into thy hands commend I my spirit." Right? Jesus was a man of prayer. Why? He was setting an example for us. Pray about everything. Is that what Paul said? Philippians 4, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. The Christian life can only be successful when we saturate it in prayer. How is yours? How's your Christian life going? You say, "Well, preacher, I'm doing pretty good." Good. Good. And I mean that. I can start right here with this brother right here, all the way back and go across. I know many of you very well, many of you. Most of you, actually. And God's listening now. God's listening. When I think of you, I think I sure do want your best for them, Lord. I want your best for them. Even some of you that might not even think that I think of you. You've just been visiting a little while. I pray for you. I'm not saying that bragging. I don't pray near enough. So let me just nix that right at the beginning before the devil tries to make someone think he thinks he's something. I know I'm nothing. But you're not going to experience, and I'm not going to experience God's best without learning what it is to pray first. So I want my family to be this way. Pray first. I want my ministry to be thus and thus. Pray first. I want to do this for God. I want to achieve this for the Lord. Pray first. Could I encourage you to do that? Could I ask you to open your heart and let the Spirit of God speak to you? Where's your prayer life? Where's your prayer life? Challenged our Wednesday night crowd to pray 2 minutes a day. And some folks probably thought, "Well, preacher, you don't think much about the service this Sunday. You just asked us to pray 2 minutes. I know what it is to pray 2 minutes about one thing. You said, "Well, praying 2 minutes for a church service is nothing." How'd you do on that? How many of you prayed 2 minutes a day for the service today? It must be something if we're not doing it. Now, I'm not being mean here. I'm just being straight. Straight's not bad. It's good. And so I want to encourage you, pray. That's my message this morning. Jesus prayed. You pray. God help me to pray. All right? God help me to pray. I have a couple of scriptures I want to share with you before I close the message this morning. I just want you to turn and read them. Turn to Matthew 21. Jesus is a man of prayer. If I were to call the name, while you're finding Matthew 21, if I were to call the name E.M. Bounds, raise your hand if you say, "I know who that is." Raise your hand. Raise it high now. Raise it high. Many people. That's good. E.M. Bounds, you fill in the blank. Say it loudly. E.M. Bounds was a man of... So don't think that you can't be known as that. Oh, we could go on. George Mueller. How many of you know who George Mueller was? Fill in the blank. George Mueller was a man of prayer. You say, well, he was a man of faith. Prayer first. I've read these men's stories. I could bring it right on up and tell you stories of when I walked in on men that had been praying for hours. We used to have those kind of meetings where people just got together and did nothing but pray, didn't talk to one another, didn't socialize. Our socialization was Godward, not manward. If I were to mention just a couple of names, Sammy Allen was a man of prayer. So I didn't like Sammy Allen. I don't care. That's between you and God and Sammy Allen. But you can't refute the fact that he was a man of prayer. And I could list person after person, people that you know. Men and women. That's right. Men and women of prayer. How do you want your life characterized? He was a man of means. He was a man loved by many. God help us. Prayer first. Amen? Nothing wrong with the other. Don't misunderstand me. But I don't want to be known for that. I want God to see me as a man of prayer. And I believe that many of you men and women here today say, you know, preacher, I want to be known as that. Can I tell you that prayer will unlock all the possibilities that are in your heart today? Please understand that. Can I tell you also that many that are sitting here, please listen to me now. I'm God's spokesman this morning. There may be times I get up here, I'm just as sure that God told me to preach this as I'm breathing this morning. Do you understand how the enemy has duped us to become people of activity, to where we think and have even said we're too busy to pray? Prayer first. Many of the things that you sit here, as that song was being sang, God's been good. God brought some things to your mind that he's been good to you with. Maybe it was family. Maybe it was health. Maybe it was someone's salvation. Maybe it was your salvation. Maybe it was all the above. They're all answered to prayer. And everything that you yet hope for can be an answer to prayer. Don't lose sight of the priority. I'm going to just do away with that word, the preeminence of prayer. It's very important. Don't lose sight of it. Don't let the devil rob you. As God is my helper, I'm not going to allow him to rob me of it any longer. God help me. Matthew 21, are you there? You know the story here in Matthew 21. Jesus goes into the temple and the money changers are there and he overturns the tables and there's a side of Jesus that I don't think any of us want to see, quite frankly with you. And then he makes this statement. In verse number 13, he said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of preaching. Help me out, church. Is that what he said? It is written, my house should be known as a house of singing. Is that what he said, church? Hey, I love good singing. We heard it this morning. You won't meet another preacher that loves preaching the way I love preaching. I love preaching. I believe you love preaching. I think we ought to love preaching. I believe when your heart's right with God, you will love preaching. I believe when I'm right with God, I will love good spirit-filled singing. That's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, prayer first, preacher. Prayer first. Psalm 109, I told you I was going to ask you. I could say much more, and we'll come back to this in our future studies. Turn to Psalm 109, if you would. Two more scriptures, and then we'll be through. Psalm 109. Psalm 109 is written by the man of David. You know David. He was, and you finish this for me, he was a man after God's own heart. We think made David a man after God's own heart. I think I found the secret here. I didn't find it first. I was kind of led to it. You've seen this, I hope, I think. Psalm 109, David said this. It's a psalm of David. You find that right under Psalm 109. It says, a slanderous tongue to the chief musician, a psalm of David. You know that man, after God's own heart. What does it mean to be after God's own heart? A man like him. How was David a man after God's own heart? Well, I think in a number of ways. But notice what it says here in verse number 4, Psalm 109. For my love, they are my adversaries. But I give myself unto prayer. It's very interesting, isn't it? Especially when you look at the words that are in italics. Now, you know why the words are italics there. That's one of the reasons I love the King James Bible. The honesty of it. Translators wanted to ensure us that these words have been inserted, I believe under the direction of the Holy Ghost, in order to bring clarity to a verse. In its original form, what the psalmist is saying, I, prayer, that's who I am. My life is characterized by what I do, and what I do is pray. Amen. I think now I know why the Bible says that David was a man after God's own heart. I believe David knew what it was to have that communion. Long before Jesus, long as we turn and close in Luke chapter 11, long before Jesus was baptized in water, he was baptized in prayer. Long before he was immersed in the River Jordan, he was immersed in communion with God. How about you? How about me? As we continue our study in the weeks to come, I want to talk to you. I'm not preaching down to you. I'm preaching. I'm not apologizing for it. I'm going to hit this head on. If it cuts my heart wide open, God will heal the bleeding. I believe that. Sometimes we just need to get real and say, hey, herein lies the problem. When the disciples went to Jesus, and we'll talk about this in the weeks to come, the things about prayer. Brethren, we like to talk about it. We like to preach about it. We like to request it. We'll even tell people, I'm praying for you, and not even be praying for them. It's just become so easy to get on social media and say, praying, prayer sent, prayer's going up. It's so flippant that now prayer is almost like a catchword for Christianity instead of a practice to get heaven's attention. And I've been guilty. I pray that there are some people that have heard this message this morning in Luke chapter number 11 will follow this pattern right here. Maybe before you leave, maybe when you get home, maybe you should take some things that have been said and allow God to speak to your heart about it, and you'll come to Jesus and you'll say, Lord, teach me to pray. Not really concerned about how to pray. Just teach me to pray. Teach me, Lord. You know why this is the only thing I can find, maybe you can find, that the disciples asked Jesus to teach them? He taught them many other things. They heard him pray. They said, wow, I need that connection right there. Everything he asks for, he gets, because he asks it in the Father's will. Even if it means saying, Lord, or Father, not my will, but thy will be done. Let's stand if you would. Who will leave today with your pastor? And join me as I have already began to ask, Lord, teach me to pray. Not talk about it. Not try to define it. Not bombard social media with it. But practice it. God, teach me to pray. Enough of talking about it already. Enough of disputing about it, and what is it, and what is it not, and what, how, and all the different ways we pray, and all the different definitions, supplication, thanksgiving, intercession. Yes, all that means something, but at the end of the day, we just need to do it. Let's quit learning about it. Start practicing it. Would you bow your head with me?